I'm Abby Lindsay Clark, and you are listening to Radio Lifestyle. Welcome to another of our interviews for the Corona Stories. Today we are going to hear Enda and Maria's lockdown stories. Enda is Irish and his partner Maria is Spanish. Enda and Maria, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
So Enda, how long have you been in Madrid for?
Well, I've been in Madrid since 2012. And I came over here after finishing university. I did a master's. I handed in my thesis, and not long after, I came over here, got a job teaching English, and I've been here ever since.
And do you absolutely love living here? Are you passionate about it? As so many people are.
Yeah, I love Spain. I think Ireland and Spain have a lot of cultural and historical links. So I was just very keen to learn more about the country. I'd spent some time in other parts of Spain, and I wanted to see what Madrid was like. And yeah, the vibe here is very nice. People are very friendly. And I think the way the country's positioned, like from Madrid, you can go anywhere in Spain. You can even go to Morocco as well. So you can get such a range of things to see, like mountains and beaches. And yeah, like many people I'm sure you've interviewed, just the combination of the culture, the weather and the people, it's a very compelling reason to stay here, I think.
Definitely. Okay. So, Maria, I wanted to ask, where are you from?
I'm from León, originally, in the north of Spain. But beautiful. I've lived in Madrid most of my life.
How lovely. Did you come to Madrid for studies or work?
Well, we were in León because my dad got transferred there because of work. So we just, when that period finished, the whole family moved back here where my grandmother was already, so...
So I understand you have a few business ventures, but one which sounds particularly great to me is the Lavapiés tour project that you have. Can you tell us more about that?
I think, Maria, if you want to talk about that, it's our joint venture.
Okay.
But the original idea was from Maria. And also, as I mentioned to you before we started recording this, we have taken it online now because of the coronavirus quarantine. And that was also another brilliant brainwave from Maria as well. So
fantastic.
That's our cue, Maria. Come on.
Okay, so the whole idea started because I found, my parents were moving and I found a book about facades, like traditional facades in shop facades in Madrid.
Okay.
And it's something that I never come across before. And I noticed that they were disappearing from like when I was little until now. There was a big change in numbers. So we started exploring, and then it so happened that a lot of them were in Lavapiés, where I used to live. So we decided to start exploring and finding out more about them. Most of them are made out of tiles in a traditional like Spanish style. And yeah, they just we were very keen on like showing that to people, both to foreigners and also to people from Madrid, because it's not so well known. We started tracing them and just building a tour around them.
And that the history of these buildings is incredible. I love actually wandering around that part of Madrid because on a lot of the facades, they have a lot of the signs sort of saying such and such famous person or writer was born here or lived here. And there's yeah. just so much
I'm
history.
I'm not sure how many of those are actually true.
Oh, really? Oh, no, don't tell me that.
No, I'm joking. There's always like the famous Hemingway thing. But the facades themselves, I mean, nowadays they have turned into different kinds of businesses, but some of them still have the sign for what they used to be, like most notably hairdressers. There's a lot of hairdressers around there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have changed occupation, but there's one of the stops in the tour is a hairdresser that continues to be a family business. And it has a lot of implements from the beginning of the 20th century. And so it's almost like a museum. That's one of the places that people love the most.
Oh, it's fascinating. There's just so much to discover. I bet people love it. And it sounds like such an original kind of tour as well. Not so sort of typical, your typical walking tours that, people organize and things. It's a little more sort of profound in a way, right? Do you focus sort of mostly on the sort of architectural side or the historic side as well, or a bit of both?
Well, I think Enda can answer that
Thanks very much, colleague. Well,
now.
basically, to answer your question, we do everything really. I think each location is unique, has its own story, and each location encompasses so much. So we start off with Farmacia del Globo, which is in Plaza Anton Martín, and you can talk about the Spanish Civil War, the scientific history, the kind of battle between herbalists and chemists, why so many scientific people were involved in the early days of aviation, including the Russian scientists behind the periodic table and reputedly as well, vodka. Even when you go to Sénéchaux d'Ouray, there's another story there you can tell about the architecture because the building and the neighborhood has changed so profoundly over the decades. When it was first built, it was a thriving neighborhood. Then it fell on hard times and now it's enjoying a little bit of a resurgence. And there you can tell the story of Spanish cinema, great auteurs and directors from Spain, and also talking about plots of different movies, which are quite varied and quite interesting. And again, the interior facades, the seating, what they were like, and things like that. So I think we touch on lots of different things, and it depends on the site as well because they have their own kind of unique mixture of the different elements. But just going back to what you said as well about the signs, what's interesting about that is actually in Sénéchaux d'Ouray, there is a sign or a plaque there that has a connection circuitously to Maria because Maria sometimes teaches elderly people Bollywood dancing. And if I'm not, I can't
Oh,
remember the story
fantastic.
correctly, but do you remember the some guy that you teach, he renovated the cinema or something? Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, it was his wife's father, no, his wife's grandfather, sorry, that actually built the cinema itself. So that's quite interesting. Yeah, we got round to that sort of like by sharing the online tour. Well, actually, my wife's grandfather was the architect of that building, so it was quite nice.
Yes. Oh, that's brilliant. So, tell me, Maria, do you purely focus on this project, or do you have any other projects that you're busy doing currently?
Well, I'm always busy with the LARPA stuff. Obviously, we have the tour, we have the podcast, we have a writing where we publish the book, and we keep a blog, so we keep on updating that with different articles. But I also do some translation work as well.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, with your brilliant English, goodness me, you speak
Thank
beautifully.
you.
So yeah, tell us more about this book. Enda mentioned to me in the email that you recently published a book. Can you tell me what it's about? And congratulations, it's a fantastic achievement.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, basically, it's a very current topic, fake news, rumors that change the world. It's in Spanish, and
Interesting.
it's a curated list of, well, 30 chapters. We both wrote different parts of it. Maria wrote, for example, some of the early chapters about Marcus Aurelius and ancient examples of rumors that changed the world. And then we go through the centuries, talk about Salem witch trials, Jack the Ripper, and of course we end up with Donald Trump, anti-vaxxers, and hacking, and social media, and how that plays a part in
That's
the
fantastic.
dissemination of fake news.
I like the sound of that. It sounds really interesting. So it's currently in the bookshops now and also online, obviously.
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon, and in Casalibro, Fnac, Corte Inglés, and a whole host of independent bookshops,
What's the name of the
all over.
book?
Well, it's in Spanish, and my Spanish is decent, but of course, Maria, you're the native, so do you want to say the title?
Fake news and the subtitle is Bulos que cambiaron el curso de la historia.
I
So
like
yeah,
it.
rumors that change the course of history, really.
That sounds great. I should definitely try and get a copy of that quickly. One of the things, I mean, obviously these interviews, very much based around coronavirus, but I always like to sort of hear, the background of people first, to get a feel for, your situation in life, your projects, etc. But yeah, one of the things which, I'd like to touch on, obviously, about the coronavirus and this current situation we're all living. What challenges, both mentally and physically, have you both faced since the lockdown began?
Okay, very interesting question. I think in the run up to the quarantine for me personally, and maybe Marie's had a different experience, was maybe the strangest part, because I remember distinctly the Thursday before the weekend where everything was shut down, and it just in the air, you know. You could see people on the metro with the masks, you know, my students, because sometimes I also teach English, and they just said to me, we'll see you whenever we see you, you know, because at that point it was all up in the air. So that kind of run up to it was quite shocking, I guess.
Yes.
And then when it was announced, it was unbelievable. And definitely for the first few days, you know, I passed my house, a car drove past, you know, announcing stay in your homes and things like that across a Tannoy speaker or something like that. And it was like something from a movie. It was
just surreal.
Yeah, it was so surreal. But, you know, as it's gone on, I have to say, you know, I found a rhythm in the quarantine. I'm keeping busy with work. You know, I talk to Maria regularly, and, you know, it hasn't been too bad for me. You know, I don't mean to sound facetious, because I know for a lot of people it has been, either mentally because they're cut off from people or they've contracted the virus. So I know it's been a very serious situation, but fortunately for me, I haven't found the being stuck at home so bad, you know. I've been able to keep busy, fortunately. So that's just my case anyway.
Yes, I think the main key to it is keeping busy. I think, you know, if you can just keep your mind occupied, you know, and stay active as well as much as possible in an apartment.
Definitely, yeah, and you know, I think there's so many resources like Netflix and Amazon, if you want to, you know, or books that are online, because, you know, we've been doing research for other projects as well, and you can find so many interesting stuff on platforms on the internet. So and we've done, you know, it's like you can work out, you can talk to people. So as long as you have a good internet connection, you do have access to the wider world, and does soften the blow of being stuck inside for so many days.
Definitely. I mean, we are so lucky that we've got so much technology now, you know, to be able to carry on, you know, because imagine if we didn't have this amazing communication we have with our families, and, you know, it would be a whole different ball game. So have you experienced any fears regarding the virus at all? Sort of the fear of catching it, or, you know, when you go out to the supermarket or whatever?
So Maria, yeah, what do you think?
Well, I'm not very apprehensive like that, but my fears weren't about myself really. They were mostly about my parents, who are elderly. So obviously we couldn't, although they are kind of like 10 minutes away by car, I couldn't really go to see them. So
no.
I was a bit, always like, well, just keeping an eye on them and making sure they were okay, and making sure they didn't catch it from anybody.
Of course.
And they stayed home. And yeah, and also a little bit from my sisters, who are both health workers. But luckily they haven't contracted it. So we've been really lucky as a family. But yeah, of course, you always worry about the most vulnerable people.
Yes. This question then really for both of you. Would you say that the situation has put a strain on your relationship?
we're business partners and we're best friends. And she's pretty easy to deal with, even in the quarantine. So I think we're still motoring along despite everything.
Thank goodness. I'm very happy to hear that.
Maybe Maria has a different perspective. Maybe she hates my guts now.
Maria, would you like to give us your opinion now?
No pressure. No, not at all. I mean, no, it's just been great. I mean, we communicate really well, and that's one of our strengths as friends and for business. So yeah, we've just continued to do exactly what we do best, just remotely. So
definitely. No, it sounds like
you're really well.
You've been doing some great things with your projects and everything. Amazing. It sounds like you've been very productive. The other thing I was going to ask, I mean, I've heard a little bit from you, Maria, but and I wanted to ask you because, you know, I mean, being so far away from Ireland, where I imagine you still have plenty of family and friends living, right? Have you been finding it difficult? You know, the sort of that feeling that we can't hop on an aeroplane and go and see them next weekend if we needed to or wanted to, you know? Is that something that you've been finding difficult, that sort of lockdown feeling that you couldn't do that, you know, if you wanted to?
It's a very good question. I think if I forecast towards Christmas and I think potentially I can't go home, that would be weird for me because I've never not been home for Christmas. And I have friends who are quite maybe more independent in that sense, and they were relishing having their first Christmas in other countries or whatever. But on a day-to-day, I would be worried about my parents, obviously, because they're a little bit older. Because I talk to them daily, I can get updates pretty regularly, and that puts me in a comfortable mind frame. And then when I'm talking to my friends, they're responsible, but you know, also they're just blasé in the sense like they're taking the precautions, but then when they talk to you, they're just talking about something else, you know, so they're not really emitting or giving off a sense of panic or fear. So that results in me feeling calm when I'm talking to them as well.
Yes.
I mean, it is strange like not to be there when it's happening, but from what I understand of what's happening in Ireland, all along the restrictions have been quite less severe than in Spain, and I've been happy that my parents, for example, and my family have been able to go out a little bit more than we've been able to do here, and as long as they can do that and get some fresh air and vitamin D and things like that, I'm a lot calmer about their general situation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I can understand that. I wanted to ask, luckily, Maria, you said that, you know, your family, well, both of you have said your family and friends are okay. I mean, do you know anyone? Do you have any friends here in Spain, for example, who have suffered from the virus?
Well, I don't know directly myself, but I have heard some awful stories of people passing away from it, actually. And,
oh, I'm so sorry.
Just things in the hospital where they're not allowed to see the body, and then it's cremated before the family are told anything as well. So so thankfully, directly, I don't know anybody. Well, actually, now that I think of it, I do know a couple, but they had very mild symptoms and they were okay in the end. So I've heard a mixture of directly and indirectly, and some sadder cases than others. But I'm sure, Maria, as well, you have your own examples.
Well, as I say, I've been very lucky, but I mean, the worst thing was like for my parents, because they're elderly, well, they had some friends who unfortunately passed away from, I think the problem with elderly people, a lot of them, like they already have conditions from before, or if they're particularly vulnerable, then it strikes them worst. So, so yeah, that's
of course.
That's always now. I mean, I've been immensely lucky, really, and my family and even like friends. I haven't really had any direct friends that were seriously ill. Yeah, like Enda said, with mild symptoms and so on, but nothing serious. So yeah,
well, I'm very happy to hear that. And, yeah, one of the questions which I always find, you know, so curious to ask, you know, of all the things, what would you say you've both missed the most while being in quarantine?
Well, I would say like related to Enaf, we miss being around him because he's always very cheeky and I always you know, fight with him, so kind of like being able to like give him a clap around the ear and stuff like that. That's something I miss quite a lot.
I have a few pending, I think, when we see each other.
Indeed.
I love it. Great answer. And the other question is, what's the first thing you will do when you can actually get out there into the street in the mall? Well, hopefully soon.
I think I've already answered that one.
Yes, that's okay. Yeah, so it's the same answer basically for the two questions. Okay.
I think, yeah, seeing each other, of course, but just walking around for any period of time that you want in the sunshine, that's going to be the biggest change, I think, for both of us.
That freedom feeling. Yeah. So, the other thing that was intriguing is sort of, you know, when people go through these tough situations, it always fascinates me, sort of, you know, what are we learning from it? What are we going to have learned from it? Are we going to take those lessons with us into the future? I mean, and how do you feel that this tough situation will have changed people?
Well, that's a great question, because we have discussed this a lot between ourselves, and the short answer is I don't think it will. And I'll explain why. I think whenever there is something like this, something significant, you know, there's a lot of blog articles about it. There's a lot of TV stuff about it, and a lot of soul searching. I think a lot of that is legitimate, because it is a unique situation, not just the coronavirus, but other things that can happen in the world. But I think to an extent also, it's SEO, you know, that's what's trending. And it's a way to kind of get readers or get listeners or whatever. Now, I obviously, for example, you're interviewing people and getting the real story. So that is very significant and very credit worthy. So I'm not including resources like that in that category.
No, that's okay. I understand.
But I think there's a lot of just fluff out there related to that. And I just think, you know, we do mention this in our book as well. We quote Mark Twain, history may not repeat, but it does rhyme. And, you know, just going on all along in the past, you know, for example, I remember, you know, people talk about TV killing the cinema. It never happened. Tinder just changing the world. It hasn't really happened, you know. And I always like laugh, because there's a book by an English poet called Laurie Lee, who fought in the Spanish Civil War. And apparently in isolated English villages, when the roads improved, I think in the 30s or whatever, people were worried that society would break down. There'd be extramarital affairs because people would have easier access to the village down the road, because they'd have, you know, all those things. And that didn't happen, obviously. So I just think looking back at history, there's always these moments where people question what will change. And, you know, I've seen as well in different newspapers, people are enjoying the quietness of the streets, the less pollution, maybe animals venturing into the cities and things like that, having more time to cook and those things. But I just think once the pressures of normal life resumes, and when we stop worrying about catching the virus, I think we probably, you know, and I don't mean this optimistically or pessimistically, but I just think realistically, we'll slip back into our old routines, the things we were doing before the coronavirus happens.
Yes. We'll have to find out.
Exactly. So, to be concluded.
To be concluded, exactly. Watch this space for the next program. A follow-up. So anyway, that's all we have time for today. But thank you so, so much, Ender Maria, for coming on the program. And yeah, next week, well, in a few days' time, we'll be back with some more interviews. And thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.